There ain't nobody lonesome for me.
Well, everybody's lonesome for somebody else, but nobody's lonesome for me. Everybody's thinking about somebody else, but nobody thinks about me. When the time rolls around for me to lay down and die, I bet I'll have to go and hire me someone to cry. Everybody's lonesome for somebody else, nobody lonesome for me.
For years, the only way we were able to know of Hank Williams' achievements was through his studio recordings, but the country music star also appeared on his own radio shows, including The Health and Happiness Show and Mother's Best Flower Show. On radio, Hank came across as quite relaxed and talkative. Recently, a treasure trove of that radio material has surfaced, giving us a better picture of the man many critics consider to be the pivotal figure in country music. It also includes a lot of songs that we have never heard before, at least from Hank. His daughter, Jett Williams, was on our show last month to discuss her father's radio shows. Time Life had just released a 16-disc collector's box set with 72 complete 15-minute radio shows, and we thought that we would replay that interview for you again today. I start off by asking Jett Williams, so how were these recordings made? Were they made for use by radio stations?
My dad had that early morning radio show, and what happened was he could not be in the studio 5 days a week. So what they would do is say he was in the studio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, after the live broadcast, they'd lay down the Thursday and Friday show, and in those days it was duplicated onto what they call a transcription disc. Mm-hmm. And it was a one-time play, and so say my dad was in Washington, D.C., they would play that as if he was in the studio, and then, of course, they just put it in a box, and that's where they stayed for many years.
Those discs often get damaged over the years. Are these in good shape?
Well, actually, it's a miracle that, first of all, in the 60s, WSM was moving buildings, and so all those acetates were in boxes heading out the back door to the Dipsy dumpster. And they were rescued and then held. Of course, they were not stored properly, but well enough to be able to where when we have transcribed them over to what we've released, the experts and critics say that the fidelity is as good, if not better, than the MGM masters.
Yeah, that sounded pretty good, what we just heard. And I'm assuming none of these things have been heard since their original broadcast.
There's 143 songs, and there's 72 radio shows. And unless you were listening that morning when it went out over the airwaves, you would not have heard my dad sing that song. And most of these songs, he never did a master recording on them, so it was a one-time thing.
Well, he wrote a lot of songs. Were these 143, were most of them his own compositions, or was he singing songs that other people were making famous?
Well, since it was 5 days a week, he had to really delve into the music bag because he did not have that many. Well, he had a lot of hits that he had written, and then you also have songs that he wrote that had not been released. And then he does a lot of PD songs, which are public domain songs. Mm-hmm. But he also goes in and he takes head-on pop tunes, country music hits of the day. And this goes to show you the strength and the breadth of Hank Williams' talent, because when you sing someone else's song, you better sing it as good, if not better, than them, because you know you put yourself up and they go, oh, well, you know, he was no Roy Acuff there, you know.
But at that time, I think Hank Williams was considered the greatest country singer, wasn't he? Or is that something that we've only come to believe as time has gone on?
Well, I think it's both parts. I think in 1951, and when you hear him sing, he's at the zenith of his 3-year career, and he is at this time of his career, he's just, you know, breaking the bat, so to speak, and he's just, you know, got what, 3 or 4 of the top number 10 hits, and I mean, he's just that you know, star that's just shooting across the music world. And of course, you know, when you mention the name Hank, you didn't even have to say Williams. And at that point in time, I believe he was the superstar of country music, and he was on the rise. But his music legacy is so grand because of his talent and his songwriting skills, that because the Tony Bennett's and the have recorded all of his songs that have taken him into all aspects of all kind of music.
Well, he had this very brief career, but doing this radio show, he was doing more than just doing the singing. He had his band. Was he doing the commercials and the announcements as well?
In these radio shows, you get to see and hear Hank Williams be the whole package. For the most part, he's a one-dimensional type figure to us because most of us have only seen him in an 8x10 photo, or we've only heard
that cowboy hat on.
With the cowboy hat on, or we've only got to hear those MGM masters. And so with these shows, you get to see this three-dimensional type entertainer, MC, jokester, instrumentalist, backup singer, and the thing that is so precious is that you see this guy that, for the most part, people want to paint as a dark figure, you know, so lonesome, so depressed.
Well, he did write those kinds of songs.
Yeah, but then he wrote Hey Good Lookin', Move It On Over, Setting the Woods on Fire, Jambalaya, and there's as many happy songs as there are the tear your soul out. But here you get to see this guy at 7:15 in the morning laughing, very much at ease, how sharp and his intellect is just on the mark. And so it gives you another side of this, this man, Hank Williams.
Well, you weren't born yet, so you didn't see him when he was on tour. But can we assume that what he was doing here was similar to the kind of shows he was doing when he was touring?
I would say similar, but when you're hosting a radio show and you're also depending on your voice to carry the whole show, to where when you're doing a live concert, you know, people can see you and movement and things become relevant. But I think on this show, and he's having to do the commercials, and you can tell what's actually scripted, you know, but then you can also, you know, tell when he leaves that, and you know he's bantering with the band,
and he's very playful.
Very playful. And the thing in these recordings, they're mistakes, as in the band starts in the wrong key.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the professional irritation in his voice. He starts the band kicks off a song, and he sings the wrong song. And then you know how he handles that situation. You know, there's a saying: it's not what happens, it's how you handle it. And so these are the complete mother's best. And in fact, we were talking about the fidelity. We even left in, if you listen carefully on some of them, you can hear like a chair move, or you can hear a little chatter in the back, because it is what it is. And we wanted to leave it as true as possible.
He also included a gospel song on every show.
That seemed to be his format. He seemed to set the shows up to where, they did the advertisement of the product. And then, you know, he'd do a song, and then he'd have an instrumental. But he always, my dad, I know from the songs that he wrote.
He wrote I Saw the Light.
And he wrote a lot of great gospel songs, that he was a deep religious a man, and it came forth in the music that he wrote and that he sang. And I mean he was certainly a grassroots red clay kind of guy.
My guest is Jett Williams, and we're talking about the Hank Williams Complete Mother's Best Recordings Plus, 16 discs that have been boxed by Time Life. And we should mention that the box is like an old time radio, very cleverly done, and a very complete book as well. Now, in listening to these, it must have been rather strange, because you were born, as I said, 5 days after he died. And were you told from the start that he was your father? How long before that was something that you were able to confirm?
Well, it was quite a while, because since my dad died before I was born, his mother, my grandmother, adopted me. And then when she died, the family didn't want me anymore, so I was put into the foster care system.
But his mother adopted you. Did she tell you that?
Well,
you were
she
Hank
told
Williams'
me daughter? I was. I died. When, I mean, I was two when she died, so that memory would not did not last with me. But to be able to go forth and be an adult and go on the search and not only find out a man by the name of Hank Williams was my father, I also found out that my daddy wanted me. And that was what was the most important thing to me, was that he knew that I was going to be born. He stepped up and said, I'm the father, signed all the legal papers, and he just didn't count on dying at 29.
Yeah, well, how did he die?
Well, that remains a great debate. His official death date is January 1st, there's more questions than there are answers. And I personally have never been satisfied with the, you know, the cause of death of heart failure.
The amazing thing is that he died at 29, but he wrote more songs than some people will write in a long career.
Well, you know, the other thing that it's not the amount of the songs, it's the quality of the amount of the songs, and the fact it's not just a one hit here or maybe a two hit there. I mean, his catalog is one of the strongest in country music, and also too in any music that there is that we have, because these songs are timeless hits that he wrote. But also too, as I said, he also sang other people's songs like "Take These Chains." Mm. He was the first one to sing it, make it a hit, and then when he got through singing it, you know, he didn't write it, but because of his version. You know, he encouraged so many people, and you can click down the list of icons in music, and, you know, he's in the top three when you ask them, you know, who was their main influences in causing them to be in music or write music or, you know, release the music.
Well, for years there were hundreds of Hank Williams clones out there, probably more Hank Williams imitators than Elvis imitators, because they were more serious. It's like Frank Sinatra in pop music. There are just so many people out there who were singing his songs and using his style. Do you think that this exhausts the Hank Williams library, or are there more recordings that are still to come?
Well, we actually have a few still tucked away, but I think, you know, we are so blessed, Hank Jr. and I, and also to the world, that this treasure trove exists. I mean, you're talking 143 songs, and we have some other stuff, but we're going to wait and let the world enjoy what we have today.
How similar to the recordings are his versions on these radio shows?
Well, the ones like Cold Cold Heart and I Can't Help It, where he went in and actually did the MGM masters, they're as close can be, except in my heart, in my opinion, I think these live versions are actually better, twofold. A master is what a master is. It's been filtered, an engineer's fooled with it. And these are live, and there is an energy and a magic when you hear this, because it is a one-time take. And so, you know, so when that first note hits, I mean, the band and my dad, they give it, they sing from their guts, and it comes across, and it just has that stardust all over it.
Well, many musicians have told me that they prefer the live performance to the studio performance, simply because all sorts of things can happen, and you are not aiming for perfection, you're aiming for something else, almost what the gospel singers call spirit feel.
Well, you know, in fact, I think that's one of the things that's wrong with music today, because it's become so technology is doing all of the pulling of the song, as opposed to the artist going in there and having that energy and magic between the band and the engineer and the producer, and being able to capture that magic that you cannot, you know, take a phaser and run it up, or, you know, a pitch machine. And, I do think if you listen to a lot of the great historical recordings we have, it's when they get in there and they just, it's just that moment in time that's caught, and it lasts forever.
Why do you think this was broadcast in the morning? I mean, he was a big star. You would have thought he would have gotten an evening show.
Well, I think it was because of the product. You're talking about Mother's Best Flour and Feed. And so the market that they were trying to reach at that time was the lady of the house getting up and, you know, mixing the dough up and putting the biscuits in the oven. And then, you know, I can only imagine that the farmer's gone out to the barn and they got a battery radio up there. And, you know, he's, you know, milking the cows. And so that was the audience that they were trying to sell this product. And so, you know, when you're trying to sell somebody something, if they're actually doing what you're trying to sell at that time, it's a lot easier, because they're just saying, well, you know, I'm using this flour, I think, because old Hank told me this, I'm gonna go buy it, you know. And I think that it was a rural show, and that's the time you needed to be waking up with the chickens and singing to the biscuits.
Is there still Mother's Best Flour out there?
Actually,
can you find it in the South?
No, you cannot find it. It is actually a retired flour, and there's actually a flour museum in our great country. And actually, it's owned by one of the big companies here in our country, in the United States. But they actually have a flower museum, and Mother's Best is represented in that museum.
Jett Williams has been talking about the Hank Williams Complete Mother's Best Recordings Plus, 16 discs boxed by Time Life, with a 100-plus page book with loads of photographs and a history of him written by Colin Escott. I'm assuming that you contributed some information to that as well.
I contributed some information and also to some pictures, and also was the executive producer on the box set.
Well, let's go out with a little bit from Hank Williams. We'll actually hear the way he ended his radio show. And I want to thank you so much, Jett Williams, for being on our show today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to share my dad's music.
Well, and this is Hank Williams saying, thanks for listening. If the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll see you again in the morning at 7:15. In the meantime, Lola, put the coffee pot on, put the biscuits in the oven. I'll be there soon, if not a little bit sooner.
When it comes to getting fast gains from farm animals, no feed does a better job than Mother's Best farm-tested feeds. The reason is simple, neighbors.